Think about the last time you were pulled into a mandatory emergency meeting that, clearly could have just been an email.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Right.
Right.
Now, imagine that meeting was so influential that it basically shaped the next 2,000 years of Western civilization. I mean, we're taught that the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD was exactly that, right? A high-stakes rescue mission to save Christianity from a heretic named Arius.
That is the textbook version, yeah.
But as we're diving into today's exploration of the source material, what if that entire emergency narrative was, well, actually a PR spin added years later?
It's a pretty bold claim, I know. But Henrik Pietrus SJ has been digging through the original 4th-century documents, and he's found this massive gap between the history books and the actual, physical logistics of the Roman Empire.
Okay, so what does the actual evidence say?
Well, the popular story says Emperor Constantine called this global summit to settle a crisis about whether Jesus was divine or a created being. But in reality, it looks like the council was already on the calendar for a completely different reason.
Wait, really? What reason?
A massive anniversary party.
You're kidding! So the most important event in church history was basically like a side item on a party agenda.
Exactly. I mean, we really have to look at the crisis itself to understand why.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So this guy, Arius, he was arguing that if Jesus was truly obedient to God, he had to have the possibility of being disobedient, right?
Right, which would mean his nature was changeable.
Which is, to me, this sounds like two software developers screaming over whether a program's choice is like hard-coded into the kernel or an autonomous response.
That's actually a really good way to put it.
It's just so technical. Why would a tiny distinction like that cause an imperial meltdown?
Well, you're hitting on exactly why Constantine was so annoyed by the whole thing. For the average person back in the 300s, these were, quote, unprofitable questions.
Unprofitable.
Yeah, we actually have a letter where Constantine calls the whole dispute an insignificant trifle.
Yeah.
He basically says it's caused by scholars having way too much free time.
Oh, wow. So he really didn't care.
Not about the theology, no. He cared about the source code of his empire, to use your analogy. He wanted Christianity to be the glue for a fractured Rome. And if the bishops were fighting over, theological technicalities, that glue just wouldn't hold.
Okay, so he just wants them to shut up and get along. I mean, if he thought it was a trifle, why go through the insane expense of hauling hundreds of bishops from across the world to Nicaea?
And that is exactly where the emergency meeting story starts to fall apart.
Okay, lay it on me.
This is Pietrus's biggest aha moment in the research. He points to the mare clausum, which is the closed sea.
Closed sea.
Yeah. In the 4th century, the Mediterranean was effectively shut down for travel from November to March, because of severe winter storms.
Oh, right. So boats just weren't going out.
None. Letters didn't move at all. Now, do the math here. The dispute in Alexandria didn't even flare up until the winter of 324. So, for news of this quote-unquote heresy to reach Constantine, for him to decide on a council, and then for invitations to travel by horse and boat to bishops as far as Spain and Persia by June.
Oh, wow. The timeline is physically impossible.
It's completely impossible.
So wait, you're saying the invitations were already in the mail before the emergency even happened?
Exactly. The bishops were already heading to Nicaea to celebrate Constantine's Vicinalia, which was his 20th anniversary as emperor.
Okay, so a big deal.
A huge deal. A year-long festival of power, basically. It was the perfect time to have all the church leaders in one room to show off imperial unity. The whole Arian controversy was just a last-minute addition to the itinerary.
Just because the guests were already in the building.
Exactly.
Like it's like a corporate retreat
Yeah.
where the CEO realizes two department heads are fighting in the lobby, so he just slaps a conflict resolution workshop onto the Wednesday afternoon slot.
That is exactly what it was like.
But wait, if it was just a side item, why is Nicaea famous only for defeating Arianism?
Ah, well, that's thanks to a brilliant spin doctor named Athanasius.
Okay, who was he?
He was a young secretary at the council who later became a bishop, and he spent the rest of his life in this massive power struggle. Years later, he realized that if he branded all his political enemies as Arians, basically calling them enemies of the Council of Nicaea, he could discredit them instantly.
Wow. So he weaponized the meeting.
He really did. And since there were no official minutes of the meeting published, Athanasius basically wrote the only surviving history of the event.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he turned a messy administrative weekend into a, cosmic battle for the soul of the faith.
So he didn't just win the argument, he completely won the narrative.
Right. And it reminds us that the official version of an event is often just the one that survived the longest.
Yeah. It makes you realize how much of what we call history is really just, well, successful branding.
Yeah.
We want to believe these moments are pure, high-minded clashes of ideas.
But Pietro shows us it was actually about shipping lanes, anniversary planning, and who held the loudest megaphone afterward.
Built on the reality that the Mediterranean was just too choppy to sail in January.
Exactly.
It really makes you wonder, though. What emergency in your life right now is actually just a side item on someone else's much larger agenda? Definitely something to think about next time you're sitting in a meeting that could have been an email. Thanks for diving into the source material with us today.